for it. We give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Again, it's the fourth Sunday of the month, so the kids will be in service, but the nursery is now open. And it's my pleasure to introduce Brother Ronnie to bring the word today. Amen and amen.
Howdy. Praise God. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Just in case that won't make nobody feel bad because y'all wear glasses, I thought I'd bring mine too. So anyway, not that I need them. I don't need them. Not that. Takes me a little longer to figure stuff out without them, but I don't need them. So praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, and we bless you. Father, we worship you. We magnify your righteous holy name. Lord God, you're holy, and your mercy endures forever, Lord God. Father God, we thank you for your judgment that, Lord God, comes upon your people, Lord God, to lead us to righteousness, O God. For God, I'd rather be judged on this side of heaven than, Lord God, for eternity, Lord God. We thank you for who you are. We bless you. We magnify you. We exalt your holy name. We extol you, Lord God. You are God, and there's none like you, Lord God. There's nothing we have to offer today, Lord God, but your word, and your word is anointed, Lord God. We get tied up, Lord God, in saying the man of God that's anointed, it is your word that is anointed. And God, we yield ourselves for your use. Oh God, we yield ourselves to see. We yield ourselves to hear. We yield ourselves to speak, God, that only your word would flow at the exact time that you called it to come forth, Lord God, out of my mouth, Lord God. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, your will shall be accomplished today. Your word will not return to you void. It will happen. It will take place. It will go into the deepest, darkest, and highest mountain, Lord God, to the deepest parts of the earth, oh God. Your word will go. For Lord God, you can't be tied up, bound up. You can't be held back. For you're the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and there's nothing impossible for you, Lord God. And God, I ask in your holy name that, Lord God, that any time that we've allowed fear and doubt into our lives, oh God, that's the evidence, oh God, of our lack of trust in you, God. And I'm asking you, by the blood of the Lamb, that you forgive us for it, Lord God. That you forgive us for being so fragile, Lord God. Lord God, that you forgive us, oh God, for needing so many cosmetic signs, oh God. That, Lord God, that your word is enough, oh God. For I'm not moved by what I see, Lord God. For God, I'm moved by what I believe, God. Because what I believe produces what I see. It is written in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. You'll get out of this what you expect. If you believe the prayer that was just made, you'll receive something. You know, I find it amazing in church that so many times that are in a gathering, and that's what I mean by church. It doesn't matter where it's at. This building makes no difference. But I find it's amazing there can be somebody there smacking, chewing gum, daydreaming, checking their messages or whatever, and the person next to them can be completely enraptured in the presence of God. They can be standing side by side and not even know that the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, is standing right beside them while their mind is where it shouldn't be. I find that amazing, but that's how detailed God is. You know, you can have someone sitting right beside you that can have a mighty encounter with God, but you've got to make up your mind. You've got to make up your mind that you came for a reason today and you came to hear something today. That you came for His purpose. If you think that I've got it all figured out and planned out, you're wrong. If you came to hear me say something, you're wrong. You came to receive a word from God. And as I was sitting around the house yesterday, just a rare day to just chew on the word and read in Isaiah, and the word came to my mind was worship. And I wrote down and I said, worship God. And the Hebrew noun for worship is doxa, which is excellence of character, wonderful glory, character, wonderful reputation of God, respect, reverence. Does this have anything to do with obedience? You know, I sit there and I see that we just went through worship and we just praised God and it was real moving. And I often wonder why, and you do too. You see, I know what you think because we're not so much different. The Bible says so. And when you walk out that door, you wonder, how in the world did I just enjoy the presence of God? And how did I was moved by the Spirit. I was moved to tears. All these thoughts and all these prayers were coming about. And then I walk out the door and it's gone. I can't seem to find it. Maybe it's Monday morning. It's gone. Folks, that's not worship. The excellent reputation and character of God. Worship's what you do when you walk out of here. You see, worship brought you in here, but worship's also what you do when you walk out of here. It's not just a Sunday gathering, but it's what you do Monday through Saturday. That's what worship is. And we've got to be real careful here because a lot of times, and I know in myself, I say this and I don't know how to say it, so I'm going to have to let the Holy Ghost bring it to you. Then we sit there and say, it's not based on what we do, for no man is saved by works, lest he should boast. It's the gift of God. But I can tell you this, that if you're saved and you worship God, there's going to be some works taking place. And I can tell you this, that there's going to be many that are going to approach you, that are going to call you a multitude of things because they don't have that. They don't want that. You're going to be called religious. You're going to be called one of them. You're going to be called a cult. Yes, we're in a cult to adhere to the values and the morality of another, even Jesus Christ. Yes, that's what I'm in. I'm with Jesus. That's who I am. I pray that today when you leave here, I don't know how to put this together. I'm just going to make that plain to you. If God stops showing up, then I'm going to walk out wherever he goes. So if I walk off the stage, see y'all later. That's what it is. It's not about me. I wish I would have known this, Emily, 20 years ago. I wish I would have known we started out, we were doing things, we were zealous for the things of God, we were on fire, we were driving by cemeteries. Get up in the name of Jesus. I wish I would have known then what I know now, but I couldn't handle it then, Monica. I couldn't. And I got a feeling that in the next 5 or 10, 20 years, I'm going to say this again. I got a feeling. I just know. You see, this is a journey. It's not a destination until we get there. Now, y'all didn't hear me. This journey doesn't stop. This walk with God doesn't stop. It's not just a great day today. It continues into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. What's happening? The evidence of who's with you, what's happening? The fruit on the tree. For years, I tried to make up my mind what God had called me to do. Stephanie knows all about this. Many of you know all about it. You've heard it a million times. Some of you listening haven't. You know, we repented, and I was a football coach. I was an old football player, and we came in, and God was speaking loud and clear. It was back in the days. We were on the streets, Monica, and we were going to the yellow building and all that, and God was saying, you're a coach for Christ, and that just kept coming up, and people just kept saying that to me. You know, it wasn't coincidental. You're a coach for Christ. That's what you do. And so automatically, I think what the politically correct way of doing this and what the church teaches, not this church, but a lot of the churches of the world, that means that you're supposed to be an evangelist. You're supposed to go around the world, and you certainly can't be tied up to a school building all day. Well, it wasn't just until here recently that after about 5 or 6 years, you won't talk about hard-headed. Some of y'all think you're hard-headed. You see, you can be fully saved and filled up from the Holy Ghost from the floor up, doing mighty works for God, telling people about Jesus, people getting born again and saved, and you can still be in the wrong place. Come on. And so I'm sitting there trying to get somewhere. I don't know exactly where I'm trying to get to, but obviously I'm not supposed to be where I'm at. But yet something keeps drawing me back in, pulling me back in. So I finally woke up from that drunken stupor of myself, I guess you might say. I don't even know what else to call it. And I said, you know what? God, this is what you play. You have made me literally a football coach. That's the place that you placed me. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to use this platform as a coach for Christ, and we're going to inspire other coaches, and some of you are sitting right here, and some of you are listening by internet, to take the Word of God in their schools. We're going to inspire you. We're going to it's a simple thing. And so we're just going to embrace God right where we're at, do the work that God has given you to do, quit dreaming of all these fantasy land things that you think that you want, that you're supposed to be, and just serve God right where you're at. Just take the Word of God into your classroom. Just pray. We've got a coach. We've got John who's a coach for Christ. We've got another coach at school. He prays over everything. The track team goes outside, they pray. Last Friday night, he wanted to take them down to Beautiful Feet, so we loaded them up on a bus, and we've got a school down there. And there was a man that was in our group, and he said, are y'all Christian school? Well, yeah, but not by the way you mean it. Those kids got to go on the streets and see things that I know there's some stuff going on in Wise County, and I know we got stuff in our own backyard, and we've got things that need to be done here. I get that. They needed that. They needed that. And we need your help. We need your prayers. We're doing a podcast on Wednesday nights. They're simple. There'll be some more in-depth stuff coming later, but we need you. We need your help. We need you to get on Facebook, and we need you to do that. If you care about your schools, if you care about your children, if you care about your grandchildren, then you have got to share this. You've got to get it out there, because if not, all is going to be lost. You know, we hear all the negative stories all the time, but what we don't hear is, what is somebody willing to do about it? That's what we don't hear. We hear all of this stuff going on. Yes, you can take Jesus into school with you. Yes, you can. Well, I'll get fired. Well, if he's sovereign and in charge, you got fired. He wanted you to, so he could send you somewhere else. We've got to change the way we see things. So we need your help. Number one, we need your prayers. Number two, we need you to share these. We did our podcast on Wednesday night, and we were just talking about practical things. We were talking about praying. We were talking about when the kids show up to school, when they show up in the classroom, how they'll begin the conversation with the proverb of the day, and then how that leads into whatever the Holy Ghost wants it to lead into, but it's always about Jesus, because he comes to glorify Jesus. We were talking about that. We were talking about that a lot of times people think that this is just for the kids, but what we don't realize is that we have to teach other coaches how to do the same thing in their schools. So we're kind of on a mission right now. We want to see Wise County, the state of Texas, this nation, and around the world. We want to see men and women of God go in and not only give those kids what they're not getting in the world and in some of their homes, but also encourage another brother to go in and do the same thing. That's what it's all about. So I needed to say that. I needed to tell you that. Those kids are down there on the streets, and you know, since I was talking about Coach Cook and I was talking about prayer, that's who it is, and he prays over everything. Good lesson. And we were sitting there, and we were out there on the streets walking, and there was this guy sitting there, and the kids, you know, you kind of let the kids get up there, and, you know, they're excited to get to do a little ministry, get to do a little stuff, and which is a good thing. You know, we get excited for everything else. And so they were there, and this guy's name was Mike, and he was sitting on the wall down there by one of the shelters, and kid said, "Can we pray for you?" He said, "No." I said, "You sure we can't pray?" He said, "No, you can't pray for me. I don't want you praying for me." And you know what? I'm going like, okay, what's the angle? Is this guy a believer? Is he not a believer? Because sometimes what people will do is they'll kind of set you up to kind of test you out a little bit. Sometimes what they'll do, and I'm going to tell you what, I'm kind of a little bit like that too. Can I pray for you? No, I don't really, you know, I need to know who you are before I find out. You don't need to come over putting your hands over and touching me and praying for me at all until I know you know God, the same God I serve. His name is Jesus. And so all this is going through my mind. So what's going on? So those kids walk off and they go to the next one. And I walked up and I said, "Hey, can I pray for you?" He said, "No." I said, "I'll tell you what, I'm going to stand and pray right here then." He said, "Oh, okay." "Father, in the name of Jesus," we start praying. All of a sudden, old Mike starts lifting his hands, and he's sitting over on the wall, and he's praying. He said, "You know," he said, "God's got me right here where I'm at." He said, he let me hit rock bottom right here. He said, "You know, I've been through a bad situation, but it was better me to be here than my grandchildren to be here." He said, "I went through a bad divorce. I lost everything." And he said, "At least my grandkids are taken care of, but I'm right here until God shows me what's next." You see, a lot of times you don't know. There was another guy, big old guy, and I'm going, "Oh, my Lord, I'm going to have to tackle this guy, and that's going to be hard to do because his metal hips squeaking and everything else." And the kids are out there, and if y'all know where the tent section is, big old guy, come out there. And the kids run up there, and they come about his waist. Waist here, waist there. He's just as wide as he was tall. And he's sitting there, and the kids were talking, and the kid said, "Can I pray for you, sir?" And he said, "I don't know if I want you praying for me." He said, give me some word. I mean, about like it, give me some word. He said, "Show me that. I want to hear what you think you know before you start." Boy, that kid's, but it was on. It was on. He was giving him the word of God. And then all of a sudden, he started prophesying. That went on for about 5 or 10 minutes. And then he said, "Okay, you can pray for me now." And we started praying. And so, man, I just want to encourage you with that. And I don't know who needs to hear that. But sometimes we think, you know, you go up to somebody and say, "Can I pray for you? Can I do this or that?" And a lot of times they say no, but don't automatically assume they're just a pagan. Maybe they're just being protective a little bit. Maybe you're being tested a little bit. Maybe to find out what you do next. Just something to think about. You know, we got a whole county here. You know what Jesus Christ wants to do in Wise County? He wants to impact this place like we've never seen. You know, I know we hear the word revival. I know that you were revived when you're born again, but there's a lot of people not born again, and there needs to be a revival. And it starts with a spark. Kindle the fire of the Lord, of Almighty God, that people would catch on fire for Jesus Christ to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So I'm going to say it again loudly. We need your help with that. And whatever happens with it is more than what would have happened had we not done it at all. So we're going to embrace this. We're going to do it in the name of Jesus. And you're going to be praying with us, and you're going to be a part of it, and you're going to be a coach for Christ as well. Amen? Amen. All right. So the message today, I started out with what worship is, and I want to say that again. The noun, the Hebrew noun is doxa. Excellent character, wonderful glory. Character, wonderful reputation of God. Respect, reverence. And I wrote down, I said, does worship mean obedience? And I believe it does. Because if you worship God and you have excellent character, you're going to do what God requires you to do. And yet he's going to give you the power called the Holy Spirit to get it done. But as I was driving in today, I said, Lord, the name of this lesson is going to be worship. And he said, no, it's going to be cosmetic Christianity. I said, why you do that? You give me all day yesterday, I'm thinking about worship, and now you say cosmetic Christianity. So in Isaiah 58, I'm going to give you a second to turn there. We're going to go and we're just going to be led by the Lord. And we're going to do what he says to do this morning. Amen. I want you to think about that word. If you have a way to write it down, write down cosmetic Christianity. And in Isaiah 58, God is speaking to Isaiah. Now, I want to remind you of something. Y'all can put your glasses on. Okay. I want to remind you of something. Isaiah spoke and prophesied about 700 years before Christ. 700 years before Christ. Now, I don't know how long we got to the return of Christ. But let me tell you what happened because he spoke the word that he spoke and prophesied about Christ and spoke the word of God. They stuck him in a log during the reign of Manasseh, and they sawed him in half for it. So I want you to have an understanding. If you're one of these touchy-feely guys that needs a message to lift you up and make you feel good, there it is. You may get your back scratched real good with a saw. Because they sawed him in half for proclaiming the goodness of God. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've preached the gospel in some places that if they could, they would saw you in half right on the spot. But nevertheless, they may saw you in half with their words. It's not going to always be well received, is what I'm trying to tell you. So the prophet Isaiah spoke these things, stunningly accurate by the power of the Holy Spirit. And let's see what the Lord says. He says, cry aloud. Cry aloud. He didn't say a whisper. He didn't say a secret faith. He said, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. He said, be heard and be known. Make a distinct sound. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Tell my people. You want to know what the saw looks like today? The saw looks like this. Don't judge me. Who are you? You're holier than thou. You're this, you're that. You know what that saw looks like today. But that's just the evidence that you might be obeying God. I'd rather obey God than man. So he says, to show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Be loud and clear. Speak truth. Now the key is that there are some people out there that speak truth. And they speak it with a wicked heart or a better than you mentality, and that's wrong. There's no love mixed in it because the Spirit of God is love, but the Spirit of God also is judgment. What is the judgment? That the house of God be judged today rather than later. And so you got to understand this. You got to hear it. I can't determine the condition of your heart because out of your mouth it sounds the same. But if your heart is truly for a desire to repent, if your desire is formed to repent, get over the rest of it. I said, get over the rest of it. And if a brother or sister repent and you're still carrying things around, get over yourself and get saved. Or go back to the cross and you repent yourself. We've got to get this down inside of us. We've got to understand the whole purpose of proclaiming the good news is that somebody would get saved. No excuses, no reasons, not my boss said, not he or she said, not my spouse said, not my children, not this, not that. You must trust God, and if you trust God, regardless what happens, he will meet your every need. It'll all be taken care of. The evidence is the saw. The evidence is the saw. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness. And forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. This was all outward. You've got to understand. You see, they were doing all this outward stuff, but there was nothing going on inward. You see, sometimes we got people doing things that makes them look good and that they can say the man of God to, but they're really not interested in getting down there on the lower level. They're really not interested in getting down there and grabbing somebody and pulling them out of a pit. They're really just interested in exalting self. And we got a lot of this running wild today. And why do I say that? Because of my opinion? No. Because the Bible says that Jesus taught on it. Beware of these false teachers. Beware of false prophecies. What makes them false? Do they speak something that doesn't line up with word? No, what makes them false is when they speak word with the wrong heart. Well, somebody wasn't listening again. When we speak truth with the wrong heart, the wrong desire, that cannot be the Spirit of God. It can't be. Some of you can't grasp what I'm about to say, and I've said it before, but I'm going to keep saying it because somebody's got to say it. You know, when I talked to Kevin yesterday morning, he said, you want to do that Sunday? You know what my answer wanted to be? Do you know what I wanted to say? No, I don't. You see, I'm finally at a place in my life, in the adolescent Christian, teenage Christian, can't comprehend what I'm about to say. I don't know how old I am, but I'm older than that. I really don't know how old I am as a Christian. But I tremble at the word of God. I'm afraid of God. And you know what really gets me the most is I know that I'm talking to myself in a lot of these places. And I hate it, and it disgusts me, and I don't like it. And the only thing that I have to draw on is to say this, is that it's because God's there. You ever get in a place to where you don't tremble to deliver the word of God? That you don't fear God. The Bible says that a wise man fears God. This is God. This is His Word. If you ever get to a place to where you're not afraid to deliver the Word of God, I'm concerned about you. You see, starting out, God's patient with us. You know, Kevin says that all babies are born heathens, pretty much. That's what they are. You know, God's more patient with a baby than He is someone that's able to get up and feed themselves and walk. But when I was first started out in this, man, I was on fire loving the Lord. I didn't love the Lord any less. I wasn't any less saved. But I didn't understand what I'm talking to you about now. Something's happening now. Something's changing. Yet they seek me daily, and they delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore we have fasted, say they, and thou seest not. If the cross is not the foundation, you're going to go blind. If you don't have your faith exclusively in Christ and Him alone, you're going to go deaf. If you're constantly moving to the right or to the left of the cross, you're going to have to find more ways to convince the world that you are right with God. You're going to have to fast more. You're going to have to give it an appearance and learn how to pray better. You know, some of those kids, as I was sitting there, Monica, and I heard them praying, and I'll be honest, my old flesh just wanted to step in and take over. Because sometimes they don't know how to pray, but that was the whole point, is that they were willing when they didn't know how, so God was moving. And Brady led us in worship. We went out. That was awesome. I had no idea. And he walked in, and he walked up behind me. He says, Ronnie Shelby. I said, that guy using a man voice back there. It was Brady. It was awesome. It was awesome. He did a great job. Great job. I had no idea he was there. Wherefore have we fasted? See, sometimes I wear them, sometimes I don't. And they see us not. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and they take us no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure and exact all your labors. It goes on to say, behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. To make your voice be heard. Can you imagine Could you imagine going in and telling somebody what the prophet Isaiah was instructed to say? I ask you a question without raising your hand. How many of you would? How many of you, and I'm not telling you that this is what that's, no. How many of you'd walk into the local pastor, Wise County, hit every church, and every man that this applies to, or every church, would walk in and prophesy this? You know, God got on me one time, and I don't believe this is wrong. Maybe my heart wasn't ready for that. But this came upon me as I was, and I can't remember where, when, what, how. I just know the details of it. That if a man stands in a pulpit and delivers a message that is not according to God's word, it is our responsibility to rebuke that message. Oh! Let me tell you something. You can't do that unless you're right with God. If you're doing that to bring glory and honor to you, you cannot. God's not asking you to do that. But if you're serving God, hence Paul, Peter. Peter was one person to the Gentiles and another to the Jews. And yet he was a man of God, and Paul rebuked him publicly. But Paul was sold out. You know, I know that because Paul had all the material things that the world says and the prosperity church says we're supposed to have, and he gave it all up for Christ. You see, it was a complete different situation. He wasn't doing it to gain material possessions. He was doing it because he cared more about Peter's soul and that those that were listening to him and watching him. You see, the motive has got to be love. The motive has always got to be that someone would repent and be saved. That's always the motive. If that's not the motive, even if you know the truth, shut up, go back to your prayer closet, and stay until God anoints you to come out. Oh, yeah. Did you want to preach? I'll do it. And there was a time, man, where I just love, man, and just, man, I want to go here. I want to go talk here. I want to do this. I want to be heard. I want to be heard. I want to do this. And it wasn't like that. Some of you can relate. Well, not like that. But I don't know how else to talk. I'm still learning. People say, have you learned a foreign language all the time at school? I said, I hadn't even learned English. I mean, I don't even know English. Coach, how'd you graduate college? Must be God. We need a broken heart. We need an inward change. I need depth. I need to be anchored and rooted in the Spirit of the living God inside out. And I know He's there because of the things I'm talking about. There would be no purpose in talking about this. There would never be something that maybe the whole reason God says that answer comes up, no, I don't want to preach, is because God is saying, I want you to examine this before you do preach. I want you to do it with fear and trembling. You know, the late David Wilkerson, if you've ever listened to any of his messages, some of his messages, he would come on and, you know, people would start to clap and he'd say, no, stop, no clapping. No, this is serious. This is serious. And you kind of laugh at that. I understand what he's talking about. This is serious. And many times he would get in the pulpit and he would tremble. And as he began to get older, he would shake and you could hear him when he was trying to deliver the word of God. And I'm sitting there thinking, and I'll be honest, when I heard him many, many years ago, great preacher, love listening to him, whatever. Golly, you know, we can present a little more clarity than that. Isn't that the thought? Isn't that the whisper that goes in the air, the flesh, the world, and the devil? My gosh. And I had this old thing that if you can't scream, holler, buck, and kick, and all that, you really ain't got nothing to say to me. I don't find the verse that tells us what tone of voice we're supposed to deliver this in. It just says, now it does say, like a trumpet. But come on, take it in the context of what it's saying. It's saying, just be clear. It's saying, be clear. You see, it's clear if a trumpet were blowing over here, I would know it was a trumpet. So if you're preaching the gospel, I would know it. That's what it's saying. If you're telling the truth, I would know it. And he goes on to say, behold, you fast for strife, you debate to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. I can only imagine if we begin to proclaim this truth. I can only imagine how big that tree would have to be for them to put me in and saw me in half. Well, that was supposed to be funny. They nagged God for their own gain. They sought their own interest. Their fast created strife, debate, hostility. They used fasting to attract attention to themselves. And I'll add another. Many fast as a diet plan today. Has nothing to do with drawing near to God. I can't judge everyone in that. That's not my job unless the Holy Ghost tells me, thus saith the Lord for you. But I can tell you that this is happening today. Turn with me real quick, if you would, to 1 John. And these are just simple verses. 1 John. And go to chapter 2 and verse 15. You know it well. You know it well. I'm going to make it plain. Because we know what the world looks like outside the church. But what does the world look like? See, judgment begins with the house of God. But we got to know what it looks like with the house of God. We got to know what it looks like to the one sitting in the pew. To the one watching online today. We got to know what it looks like there too. You see, it's easy for me to see what I saw Friday night and realize that's of the world. But what's not so easy is what is being proclaimed from the Word with the wrong heart. Oh, there's a lot in that. In the scriptures that you know so well that you can all quote, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Again, they nag God for what? Their own gain. They sought their own interest. Their fast created strife, debate, and hostility. It did not bring the peace of the Lord, even though the peace of God does not bring peace with the world. They use fasting to attract attention to themselves. And so it says, to be friends of the world, or love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, in the false gospel today, this has crept in to the Word of God. Love not the world. We have people that have made a career out of church and ministry. They've made a career out of it. It's not a life choice. They've made a career out of it. Because they love the world and the paychecks and the time off. When I was going around praying for churches as God had instructed us to do, me, Stephanie, Brett, and there were some others. My kids that may or may not be watching. I would show up at churches in small towns. We would show up. And sometimes there'd be two or three ministers just hanging out, playing, sitting behind their desk, doing whatever they do. Now, I'm all about a man of God being taken care of who's preaching the gospel, who's busy doing what God called him to do. But come on, man. Come on, man. You got three people, three pastors, two pastors on payroll. You got 50 in the congregation. Get a job. Get a job so that money can win some souls. And by the way, paying very well. No wonder the building was falling down. That doesn't fit everybody. Don't cookie cut anything I say. Everything that I say must be breathed on by the Holy Spirit because there's always that exception. There's always that. It's not everyone, but it amazed me. And I'll be honest, I got a little bit jealous. I'm going, man, I'm working like a slave 80 hours a week as a coach, and we're out here praying over these churches. They're making more money than I am sitting behind a desk. I wish somebody would pay me to read my Bible. I got to work it in, bootleg it into the class, and then they're telling you the whole time, don't you bring that word in here. So now I'm going to bring it in here, and we're going to do it anyway. And teach and preach and be all. Thank God. Thank God, because it's only Him that can do that can even give you the desire to do that. And don't tell me, on another side note, back to Coach for Christ winning this county, don't tell me you can't take Jesus into your work. You see, it's not a matter if you can, it's a matter if you will. That's all that it is. It's not a matter if you can, it's a matter, will you take Jesus to work with you? Do you trust Him enough that if they say, hit the road, Jack, you say, praise God, where are we going next? Do you trust Him that much? Is it gloom and doom, or is it says, my God sits on the throne. My God, He's the head of all principality, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. What the devil intended for evil, God intended for good. I like my God. Praise God. Where are we going now? Who you want me to talk to next? I must admit, Stephanie don't remember any of this. I keep talking to her because they were with us for a long time. There was no pride or arrogance in me when I was in school and they told me I couldn't preach. None. Zero. They say you can't bring the Bible. They say you can't bring the Bible. I'd bring four of them in there just to prove my point. What you going to do now? What you going to do now? The Lord said, you're doing right, but you're doing it wrong. Quit looking for a fight. What you going to do now? Y'all need to get saved. All y'all going to burn in hell. You coming against God's anointed? It was on. It was on. The people down here, biker gangs and stuff, call themselves Christians down here. Biker gangs saying, we're going to go to the board meeting, man. We're going to picket and we're going to make noise and all that and rev our pipes during the meeting. All that. I said, if y'all do that, I might have to keep my job. I wanted to leave. I don't know if God wanted me to leave or not. I did. And all I can do is go back and say, God, I should have never resigned until God told me to. You see, I don't know if this is getting through to anybody. I don't know if you're listening to me, and I apologize, but that's just a side Holy Ghost track right there. It's like a little commercial that came in there, but it's a good one. I'm quick on the trigger, John. I'm quick. I mean, we had some things that even in paradise, ain't always paradise. And we love it there. Last week, I said, the heck with this, man. I ain't stuck here. It just hit me. Holy Ghost does like, I ain't told you to do that. I brought you home. Okay? All right, Lord. But Lord, they're giving me too much work. And taking away money. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Love not the world. Compromise is the friend of Satan. We must stand strong that the lost, when they reach out, we are secure standing on the rock. See, the problem is that the lost are reaching out, and what's happening is that our anchor is not set. We're not a part of the rock. We're not Petra. We're not like Peter. That we're still walking as Simon Bar-Jonah. We haven't become Peter yet. That we become petrified. That we become a part of Jesus. That when they come in and they grab a hold, that we can't be shaken. You see, we're easily shaken. Compromise is the friend of the devil. You have a right to stand no matter what the laws of this land or your employer are. If it's the word of God, it trumps all other laws. And there's a way to present yourself in that area without having to pick a fight. Let the devil do all the spitting, bucking, and kicking. You be a man or woman of God. And they say, you can't. So, no, all due respect, sir. All due respect, ma'am. I can. The Lord tells me that this is what I'm to do. And you know, by the way, I'm praying for you. Praise God. Everything's going to be all right. You really want to mess them up. I was telling that story about Kevin on the streets down there. There's a couple of drunks down there said they didn't believe in God. And Kevin said, we'll pray for you, and came down to this. Well, I don't care if you pray or not, because we don't really believe this anyway. Okay. Well, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just pray that these men get sick to their stomach, puking their guts out, that they can't get a wink of sleep in Jesus until they realize that you're the King of Kings and the Lord. Oh, wait a minute! What, you want me to stop? You can't pray that. Wait, no, you don't believe in God. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, my boss is asking me to not bring the word of God in here and saying that that's illegal. So, Lord God, I'm just asking, Lord God, that you make him or her lay awake all night long in torment, that the word of God pursue them till they repent and get... Wait a minute. That sounds like a bad prayer, but that's a pretty good prayer. That's a pretty good prayer. I'd rather, again, be judged on this side of heaven. If you turn with me, turn back to I'll just read to you the book of Mark. Something that we were talking about being anchored just now that it kind of ministered to me. It says in Mark 4:32, it says, and you know the seed, the sown, and all that. I'll read 30 through 32. It says, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all seeds that be in the earth. And it says, but when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out branches, great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. You know, I saw this, and I may be a little bit off here, but I saw the fowls of the air as being those heathens of the world. You know, we're supposed to be that mustard seed. We're supposed to be planted. We're supposed to be a place that they can come. Not a place to compromise, but a place to come that's never shaken. We've got people that will change their mind because they want to keep peace in their home, which is called false peace. But Jesus said in Matthew 10, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword, a division. Choose which side you're on. He goes on to say that I come to set family members one against the other. I won't go into all that. But I'm going to ask you again. Would you rather have what the world calls unpeace, turmoil, or would you rather have peace and see him judged and go to hell? I know unpeace ain't a word, but I got a college education talking like that. I told y'all that. That goes into CST, Coach Shelby Translation. I've got a lot of those words, and I'm going to start having people at school write them down because I've got like a whole dictionary. Unpeace. And another, and I'm starting to forget them. We've got a coach at school that when something is said, he carries a notepad or something. He's like, he'll kind of get that puzzle look at him. What are you doing? I'm writing it down. Unpeace. And praise God. Praise God. So we must worship on the rock. And I'm going to take you back to the all-famous chapter Luke chapter 6 real quick. And then I'm going to go back to Isaiah 58, and I'm going to finish up. So you might be able to meet the Baptist. No. Yeah. At lunch. Sorry. All right, here we go. I was going to try to get you all there at the same time. That way we could practice some of this. I didn't mean that. For some of them. But some of the Pentecostal there, too. Well, the Catholic are there. Some of the Church of Christ. Whomever this applies to. So in Luke 6, and y'all have heard me preach on this before, and I'm not going to preach on it. I'm just going to say again about that solid foundation that we must be on as we present this gospel. Because if you're ashamed to present the gospel of Jesus Christ, and if you're not going to sound the trumpet and the alarm, and you're not going to speak against this stuff, you're not standing on the rock. Because when you stand on the rock, something happens. Something happens that you can't, you just become an instrument. You become like a hose hooked up to a spigot, and the anointing, the water, the word is going to flow. So when I see somebody that says that they're remaining silent, that they're a secret Christian or this or that, and this was revealed to my son, there is no such a thing as a secret Christian because secret faith is no faith at all. And so it goes on to say, it says, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man who builded his house and dug deep. He digs deep. You see, you're going to have to do some digging. You're going to have to do some praying. Why? Because the rock likes to be sought. You see, the rock walked across the water, and the disciples cried out, and he turned back. You see, the rock walked through the crowd, and the woman with the issue of blood had to scratch, claw, and go to him to grab a hold of it. The rock likes to be sought. Why? Because that's what digging deep is. That's what prayer is. It is a crucifixion of your own flesh, your own worldly desires. So when a gospel comes easy, and don't pervert this, Lord, I'm trying to say this the right way. When it all comes easy, you're off track. Oh, I just turn the music on and the anointing gets all over me and I just dance. What's the difference in that when you just listen to that Rocky music back in the day? I said that one time in a car and I made somebody mad. I said, we went to a third day, somebody like that, whatever. Nothing. I'm not talking about third day. It's not what, but it's kind of a Christian rock, right? Right? I don't know all the, I call them Jenrys, and my daughter-in-law said, John Reese, Coach John Reese. I'm not saying it that way because you keep telling me to say it that way, so I'm going to say it my way. And I'm sitting there and we're listening and it was great and it's awesome and nothing wrong. I'm not saying anything wrong with it, whatever. And I'm going like, you know, I don't feel any different than when I was listening to Aerosmith back in the day. So is it possible this is not the anointing of God at all, but just my flesh feelings? You see, we've got to judge the difference. We've got to understand, because God ain't moved. It's not your little goose pimples that mean you're under the anointing. And I see people doing this all the time, and they say, well, it just feels so good, and I'm just so happy to be a part of my church and this and that. Is it possible that's all cosmetic? Because see, the anointing's different. The anointing will crush you. The anointing will rip your heart, stomp it in the ground, and give you a new heart. The anointing will cause you to understand some of the things that I'm talking about right now. There's a difference. The presence of God is different. I'm not saying it's wrong to get happy, get glad, to shout and scream, and I'm not saying every time you do it that's the Holy Ghost. That's exactly what I am saying. It's not the Holy Ghost every time. And he said, he is like a man who dug deep, laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the streams beat vehemently upon that house, violently, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, one thing that's going to happen as you begin, back to Isaiah 58, I want to say it again, as you begin to sound the trumpet, as you begin to preach the gospel, as you begin to make it plain, the storm is going to come. The evidence of what happens afterwards is going to determine whether you were on the rock or whether you were on the sand. Because the storm comes for both. Your Christianity, your ministry, which is the ministry of Jesus Christ, will be tested. And you're supposed to trust him. Expect it. I don't find any surprises anymore. I don't walk in and somebody says, well, Coach Shelby, somebody did. I had somebody that didn't even want it. They complained about me. Can you believe that? And Coach Shelby, he talks about too much of that Jesus stuff. And we don't, you know, we just don't believe that way. Well, I'm not going to stop. And they checked out of school. Sorry, I pray for that person every day. Could have went the other way, but God ain't ready for me to leave there yet. You see, you wonder, that's pretty astounding what I just said. That's pretty astounding what I just said. They left. You know why? Because I'm not going to step. Anointing oil, I tell you, there's the anointing. Because I'm not going to step off the rock. Now, if I step off the rock and I say, who you think you're talking to? You ain't going to shut me down and shut me up. I'm going to talk about Jesus off in here. Now I'm probably going to create a situation. I say, okay, you want to handle it? This may turn out differently now. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm still learning. And I ain't got this perfected, because sometimes, you know, that spirit of slap comes up on us. You know what I'm talking about? You want to get somebody, you want to chew them out, you want to rip them a new one, all that kind of stuff. And you just got to step back and just speak the word. Stay on the rock. Do not drift to the left or right. You've seen those little baby buffaloes or whatever they are, those wildebeest and all that on the African channel. You've seen when they get separated from mama, what happens? They wind up as lunch or dinner. You see what happens when we separate from Jesus. Even though we're saying the wrong thing, now we've removed ourselves, because the Holy Spirit cannot move outside the parameters of Jesus Christ, Him crucified, risen from the dead. He come to glorify God. He come to remind you the words of Jesus Christ. He will not deviate. The anointing, and I don't want to say it this way because it sounds like I'm saying God's weak. I'm saying the opposite. It's fragile. He's only a whisper away. He's only a thought away. And our desire to be obedient draws His presence to us. But if we get a smidgen of carnality, a smidgen of flesh, you're on your own, Lone Ranger. But he even had Tonto. You're on your own. You know, I can't help but to think about the old story, and you could probably tell it, about the brownies the dad made for his daughter. She's wanting to go to a movie, raised up in a Christian house. And she said, Daddy, I want to go see the movie. He said, babe, we don't talk that away. We don't do that. I don't want you to listen to this. Dad, you raised me right. I hear it all the time at school. Anyway, it's not a big deal. They just do it a little bit. He said, okay, come sit down and have some brownies with me. He said, I made these today for you and your sister. You sit down and start eating. He said, oh, by the way, he had a big old mouthful of brownies. He said, Susie, the house dog, took a dump right there on the floor, and I spilled some of the batter there. I'm not sure how much got in there, but just a little bit. Do you think her the effect on her was any different? Wouldn't make any difference, would it? Points made? We have no room. No room for the devil. No room for the world. No room for carnality. No room. And I know that we slip up sometimes, but the difference in the people that understand and adhere to what I'm saying are the ones that are quick to repent, get up and say, God, Daddy, Father, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. God, forgive me, Lord. And they're back up on the rock. And they hold on and say, Lord, God, don't let me go there again. And somebody calls them and says, let's preach the gospel. And you say, I don't know. Lord, I'll do it. Gosh, Lord Jesus. With fear and trembling, this is not about me. I don't need to be in the spotlight. I don't need to be on the stage. It's Jesus Christ. For if he be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto himself. And the Bible goes on in Isaiah 58. Let's do this thing because I made you a promise I can't keep. Here we go. And in verse 5 it says, is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? And then in verse 6 it says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to do unto the, or wickedness, to unto the heavy burdens, or undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? The bread is the word of God, the manna from heaven, Jesus Christ. To deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that thou art cast out of thy house. When thou seest the naked, that thou coverest him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Spiritually, we are to cover people. We are to pray. That's what I was telling you about that coach a while ago. We are to pray and to continue praying. And it really doesn't matter whether they say yes or no. And I'm not saying you got to get in their face and prove your point by screaming a prayer in their face. But you pray for them. It may just be as simple as saying, what's your name? Because this word of God is more powerful. It is like a fire and a hammer that breaks the rocks to pieces. It is a word that will not return to God void. It shall accomplish what God has called it to accomplish. Then shall thy light break forth in the morning as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. You know, I'm sitting there yesterday and I read this, I'm going like, is that the reason why some of us are so sick? Again, don't take these words and apply the cookie cutter. Don't, because some people just get sick. I mean, did Elijah, and was Elisha that died in his sickness? So don't pervert anything. But we do know in some cases this is the case. And it says, thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear guard. You ain't got to worry about somebody sneaking up on you. God's back there. He's north, south, east, and west. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. So when you pray and you speak, or pray and you speak to God, he will hear you. And he goes on to say, if you take away from the midst of the yoke, that kind of puzzled me a little bit. He said, if you take away the yoke from the midst of thee. You see, we put yokes on ourselves. And then we sit there and say that God removes yokes and all that, but then we go grab it and put it back on ourselves. You know how you do it? You step outside the rock and you begin to minister truth, but you begin to minister through selfishness, through flesh, through the world, and through the devil. And nobody in here would ever do that on purpose. But by taking your eyes off Jesus and removing yourself from the rock, that is the end result. Period. Period. What's the test? And I know I'm on this. Here's the test. When somebody calls and says, you want to preach, the first thought comes to your mind, no, I don't. Because I'm afraid of God. And when you say that, you don't mean it, but you're hesitant. You're not quick to say, put the spotlight on me. There's no place for that. This is about one man. This is about one man. This is about Jesus Christ. If he be lifted up, he'll draw all men unto himself. We've got too many men that are lifting themselves up, that are lifting up their Bible and saying that I'm this and I'm that, and there's some truth to what they're saying, but the heart is perverse. There's been saying that if you'll do this, God will do that. No, there is no deal like that. God's already done what he needs to do. He's already stepped down from his throne. He already jumped up on a cross and said, if you come to me, he's already done it. I think that's what it means when it says that there's nothing new under the sun. I do. Because from the foundation of the world, he was determined to be slain. The putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity. Take your yoke off today, man. Remove your yoke. I'm speaking in accordance with the Word of God. Release yourself. Release yourself from the burden of thinking of what you have to do for God. And just be available, because if you're available, there'll be more to do than a little bit. Just be available. I like it when people say, "Coach, I was available today," and nobody asked me. I said, "You wasn't available. How can you say that? You don't know my heart." I said, "Because I see the fruit. Because I know that the harvest is plentiful and the labors are few. God said so. But when your heart is right, he's going to put you in front of that open door. He's going to put you before that person that needs prayer. He's going to do it, and he's going to do it every day. But when it's about you, you've got to go out and convince people. With your carnality, with your worldliness, and all that means is you got to keep getting better at it to keep drawing the flies. That's all it means. You got to keep getting better at it to keep drawing the flies. You got to make it stink worse next time so that more flies will come. Tired, man. I'm tired. It ain't about me. Even this coach, and I'm just talking, guys, this Coach for Christ deal. Ain't about me. You may be one of them. Well, I'm not a coach. Bless your heart. Have you heard anything I said? A coach is someone who stands on the rock and will proclaim the truth because they love people and they want to see those people repent. And it's not because they have so much love within themselves. It's because the greater one who so loved the world lives in them begins to influence them. You are a coach. Maybe you being a coach just means you click on the podcast and you send it to your contacts. Maybe you have a relationship with a coach that coached your son or daughter or coached you at some school or some teacher or somebody at work. Maybe you've got a coach that works up here that changes tires on the semis. That's a coach. Anybody that comes in contact with people, here's another way of saying it. Make disciples of all nations. That's another way to say it. Some reason that word coach scares people. Let me give you another word for coach. Soldier in the platoon of Almighty God. Obeying the orders of Almighty God. Why do I care? Same reason. All the things I've been telling you today. Because Jesus. Because there's something. I can't even comprehend the depth of his love. I can't even I can sit here and lie and tell you, Hunter, that I have any idea that I don't. How? What do I care what those people over there do? Why do I care if they go to heaven or hell? Why? In my flesh, you know, fight you? It says, get off the rock. It doesn't say it exactly. The devil's better than that. I'm going to tell you, he's better than that. Just step over here just a little bit. Just step over here just a little bit, and let's do it like you'll draw more people like this. I ain't trying to draw nobody. I'm trying to sound the trumpet. By the way, you got way more air than what you had when we started. See? She sowed what she had, and God gave her more. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me finish this. And if you draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. There's going to be some restoration. There's going to be some restoration. There's some family members that you guys are believing for. I'm going to ask you a question. Is it worth being obedient to God and sounding the trumpet that those you love you see in the kingdom of God with you one day? I didn't say that. They may not get saved today. But don't you think God has all this figured out? He knows the end from the beginning already? Don't you think he knows who's going to be obedient and who's not? Don't you think? You see, when I go to God, I'm a little more bold about my kids. I'll just be honest with you. God, you said. You said. Isn't that kind of how Moses talked a little bit? I'm shaking. You said that if I raise them in the ways, in your ways, that when they're old, they will not depart from it. You said it, Lord. You can't lie. The world lies, deceives, tricks. But you said this, Lord. And Lord, on top of that, I know that I messed it up. But I didn't mess it up on purpose. I didn't determine to mess it up. I was just doing what it said. And I know I did it wrong. But you said that if... Are you tough enough to weather the storm and stand on the rock that in the end those souls may be saved? Or do you just want to travel in false peace, glorify yourself, fast so that people think that you're doing something great for God, but yet ain't none of the poor getting fed, ain't no prisoners being visited, nobody's hearing about Jesus, nobody's getting prayed for, and your bills are paid, so you must be a man or woman of God. You must be. Wonder how John would have taken that message as he's eating bugs. Probably wouldn't have taken that very well, Juanita. Wonder what Jesus' house looked like when he came down here to hang out with us. And they shall that be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. I'm going to make this statement to you, and I'm going to close, and I'm going to ask you to pray. I'm going to ask us all to pray. And I have that singing, reading, citing scriptures, memorizing scriptures, listening to sermons, taking communion. We started out with worship. These are all can be works of or ways of worship. But true worship goes beyond what happens in this building. True worship goes beyond what happens in this building. It goes beyond our great praise and worship band. It goes beyond. And they would tell you the same thing. What happens in a house of prayer belongs out there. If we're going to come together and pray, the whole purpose is to take it to the world. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. That's the reason why we don't want to just keep it at our school. That's the reason why we do these podcasts, not because it's convenient. It's hard to do. You put in all day work, and we've got to find a time to get together. John's got kids. The other coach has kids. And I'm old. These guys are like 30 years old. I'm like old enough to be their dad. I know I don't look like it. What happens in here needs to go out there. Real worship means responding to the hungry, the homeless, the prisoner, the minimum wage worker, the debtor, the poor, the hopeless. This includes treating well those in our own household. And the best way I can treat them well is to keep the Word of God. Keep the Word of God in their presence. The last thing is, as the church gathered today for worship, we're going to pray. Let's be the church that scatters for service Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Let's be the church that sounds the alarm. And here's why we need each other. One of the many reasons why we need each other, because when you get out there, it's brutal. The storm is strong. And it may be some of those people I just told you that are going to get saved. They're going to get saved. But if you have this, God says, forsake not yourselves from assembling together. Then I've got somebody. You know, that man over there is a coach. Man, me and him have some deep conversations. Those need to be mic'd up probably. The world needs to hear those. And sometimes they're frustrating. I mean, we're out of frustration, both of us. But ultimately, it always comes down to, yeah, what the Word says. Yeah, Lord. Sorry, Lord. Forgive me. Wash me clean by the blood of Jesus. I don't want to go up there and teach those classes today. And I'm tired of being here. Man was here late last night. Had a powerlifting meeting. I got a track meet this. About three of them this week. Powerlifting meet. Two track meets. The Word has to go forth. They want to get on no bus and ride to Fort Worth Friday after putting in all week work Friday night. We get home about 11:30, 12 o'clock. I didn't want to do that. But it's the right thing to do. That's worship. How could I tell my little brother who had set it up that, no, I ain't going with you? And I know you can't do everything. Don't again, pervert nothing I say. But sometimes you can. I didn't have a reason not to. I'm going to be sitting there in my house by myself. I would have went to bed a lot earlier, but okay. But had I not gone there, I probably wouldn't talk to Kevin Saturday morning, and I probably wouldn't be standing here right now. So out of obedience going there, all of a sudden I wind up here. I mean, I know you say, oh, yeah, you'd have been. I don't know that. I called Kevin Saturday morning. I didn't ask to do this. He kind of caught me off guard when he asked me. But I was just talking, hey, what are y'all doing? And I was just talking about the kids. Can we pray? When Jacoby's back there playing, can we pray? Can we just stand and pray just for a minute? You need to come to the altar. You come to the altar. You know, we need Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That person is Jesus Christ. If you just minister unto Jesus, you're going to wind up ministering to somebody else. You're going to wind up praying for somebody else, because he always, if he's in charge, guys. Father, we love you and we bless you. Father, we praise you. I'm going to turn this off. You don't need to hear me. You need to pray. Take a few minutes and pray. You want to meet down here and pray? I'm inviting you. I've asked every way I know how. If it's not for you, then it might be for me. It's for our schools. It's for your grandchildren. Come on.